called to meeting of the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board today, Wednesday, May 29, 2019, at 2:02 p.m. Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Mayor Grant?
Here.
Tomas Boyton? Angela Choice? Jeannie Christman? Elisa Kramer?
Present.
Elsa DeGoy? Maria Dorsman?
Here.
Robert Goodman?
Here.
Maria Hernandez?
Here.
Robin Manuel?
Here.
Angela Morlock?
Here.
David Rafaitis? Takeisha Saffold? Laura Schultz?
Here.
Millery Sanat?
Yeah.
Tessie Watts?
Here.
Reverend Corum, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you very much. May I have a motion to adopt the agenda for May 29, 2019?
Also move to adopt the agenda.
Yeah, is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Motion to approve the minutes from February 13, 2019.
I move. Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Comments from the chair? None at this time. And then we have our local coordinating board liaison report by Alyssa Frank.
Good afternoon, everyone. You all have the copy of the liaison report at your seat. So Florida Department of Transportation is conducting an older adults needs survey. They are seeking survey responses to identify challenges older adults face in using public transportation and recommended solutions to improve transit services. There is a password required to do the survey. It's on the liaison report as well. And the link is there if you're interested in doing it. It's greatly appreciated if you do. The Transportation Planning Agency adoption of the Vision Zero Action Plan. Federal regulations require the TPA to annually adopt safety targets for each of the five safety performance measures. In February 2019, the TPA Governing Board adopted targets of zero traffic fatalities and serious injuries and directed staff to create a Vision Zero Action Plan to progress toward these targets. In April 2019, the TPA adopted its Vision Zero Action Plan. There's more information available at the link below. The Long Range Transportation Plan, or LRTP, update is underway. It is scheduled to be adopted by the TPA Governing Board in September. Components of the LRTP update will be posted online as they become available at the link below. They do include pedestrian, bicyclist, all of those aspects of the transportation system, so definitely interesting. Bicycle Trailways Pedestrian Advisory Committee, or BTPAC, needs a member. The TPA is seeking representation from the disabled community on the BTPAC. For more information, contact Nicholas Hernandez from my office. His email is provided. And lastly, the Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board, us, we are seeking or encouraging members to provide a 5 to 10 minute presentation on how their agency and everyday work relates to the transportation disadvantaged. A couple people have already presented. We have someone presenting today. If anyone else is interested in presenting, please reach out to me. Thank you.
Yes, we have a couple questions.
I was just interested in the first one, the adults needs survey. Are we doing anything in the paper, or how are we reaching out to the population to get them to participate in this survey?
So FDOT shared this with a bunch of their partner agencies, and we actually, I believe, did share it in our social media. I can double check on that, but we're sharing it through that and through emails. So, but if you are interested, please share.
Yes.
Similar question. Is it available in paper form at all? Because I work with seniors in Century Village, and many of them, my seniors, are visually impaired and have no access to a computer. But I'm sure I'd love to have them participate in that survey.
I do not believe it is.
Oh, okay.
So So I believe it's only accessible through the internet, and there's a survey required, although I'm sure you can probably have someone walk them through it to help get the answers and help them do it.
Is there a deadline date for completing this?
So when we asked, they said the deadline was whenever they had sufficient amount of responses, so.
I would encourage you to do something to make it available to those who don't have computer access.
Thank you. Noted. I will share that with the people who shared the survey with us.
Chair, just to note, if you guys could please speak into the microphone so that the recording can pick it up, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Does everyone make sure that they have their microphone turned on?
Excuse me.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. This is Takesha Safford. I just wanted you all to know that I'm present. Sorry for my tardiness. My transportation was late.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, is there any other comments regarding the liaison report? Seeing none, we're moving on to new member introductions. Alyssa, do we have new members?
So we do have a couple new members today. I will introduce myself first. My name is Alyssa Frank. I'm the liaison for the LCB for those that I have not yet met. If you guys on the board want to introduce yourself, you can go ahead. I believe Robin Emanuel, it is your first meeting?
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm Robin Emanuel, and I'm from Vocational Rehab, and we're the place that we accept persons with disabilities, find employment.
And then
I'm Milo Isena. I'm with the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. So we serve everybody with disabilities.
Laura Schultz, I'm with the school district. So we support all the students pre-K through 22.
Takesha.
Takesha Safford, I'm the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Palm Beach.
Mayor Stephen Grant, here as a representative, I believe, from the Transportation Planning Agency for Palm Beach County. We're the ones that we set the budget and the long-range transportation planning for the county.
Okay, I'm Tessie Watts with Area Agency on Aging. We serve seniors 60 and over.
Angela Morlock, representing the elderly. And I used to work for the MPO as a planning agent with a lot of the agencies that are sitting here and the individuals using PalmTran and PalmTran Connection.
Robert Goodman, I have I represent people with disabilities and as well as the elderly, I guess, too, so I'm in both categories. And I run a business called Florida Navigator. We run health fairs and community resources in the communities.
Good afternoon. I'm Elisa Kramer. I am with the Florida Department of Children and Families, which, as everyone knows, is the state's social services agency. So we have programs for vulnerable children and adults, for low-income neighbors, for refugees, kind of any population, any neighbor resident who is in need, our agency generally has some involvement with. So we're happy to be a part of this board. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Maria Hernandez with the Agency for Healthcare Administration with Medicaid.
Good afternoon. Marie Doisman with FDOT. I manage the Section 5310 grant, which is a grant to enhance mobility for seniors and people with disabilities.
Right. And David?
Oops. David Rafaitis, Palm Beach County Community Services Department. We do it all.
All right. Next, we're moving on to general public comments. We have one from Dr. Marvin Arnold.
Thank you. I think I'm in the right platform here, and if not, you will certainly tell me what other committee I should be going to. But in looking at the agenda and it being Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency, and hopefully I understand there's some people here from PalmTran, And that's the real issue that I want to address. We have a problem that you may or may not be aware of, and I'm going to give use Walmart at 9990 Belvedere as an example, which I think is one of the worst situations that we have as far as relating Palmtran and also the safety of our population. If this podium represents the entrance coming out of Walmart, and you represent the store, as people come out of the store, here's what happens.
You have to speak in the, I'm sorry, you have to go to speak in the microphone.
I am now standing where a Palmtran bus will be parked, waiting to load people, and that's where they have to get on. The problem that you're creating, and I'm aware of this every day because I go through this area, and I'm not using this one area as the only place, it's just a good example. It exists every place in the county. And I'm proactive. I believe in saving a life and preventing someone from injury or getting killed. That's why I am here. If this bus is parked.
Dr. Arnold, can you move a little bit closer to the microphone?
If this bus is blocking the exit coming out of a store, any store, and traffic is going the same direction as the bus is parked, as someone comes out of this store, and if it's with a shopping cart and a gaggle of children, those children do not stop and look, they run out into the street. Traffic coming around this bus cannot see anyone coming out from the store in front of that bus into the traffic pattern. Also, the person coming out of that store can't see the oncoming car. It's an issue that is solvable by 15 yards. If we move this bus stop waiting area to the opposite side of that exit, the traffic going the same direction as the bus will not be not visible, because it will be visible to anyone coming out of the store. It makes no difference if that person gets on the bus here or there, except that we're saving a life by someone coming out in front of that bus into oncoming traffic. The comment I've received from some of the drivers that I addressed was, well, that's where the bench is. I don't care where the bench is. If anyone who cannot ambulate on their own and has to use a walker, a rollator, a wheelchair, or anything else can go up and down the 100 yards length of Walmart's aisles many times, they can certainly walk 15 yards from here to there and prevent a possible injury. That's the issue I want to present, and I think the people are here that can make the change on that. It's made as a suggestion, and I'm not telling you how to do your life and how to do your control. I'm running out of time.
Yes.
I am only here because I think it's important enough that I take time to present it. I'm aware of it.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
And so are you.
Thank you, Dr. Arnold. This is more, before you go, I'll give you a little bit more information about this board versus the Palmtran Service Board. We do have some members here from Palmtran. We do have your contact information. We will have someone from Palmtran contact you about the situation of, you said it was the stop on Belvedere in front of Walmart?
That was only an example. It could be any store. It makes no difference. The issue is the same. The bus is parked in what's normally called a fire lane. You can't park there anyway, except for the fact that it is a bus and they have a different variance and they're allowed to park there. They have to load people that have limited ability to ambulate. But if you can ambulate the length of that store or half the length of that store,
thank you.
You can walk 15
yards.
So
we'll have someone contact you from Palmtran.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I will open up the floor to anyone else who has not filled out a comment card. Seeing none, public comments is now closed. Moving on to action items. According to the LCB bylaws, the LCB shall hold an organizational meeting each year for the purpose of electing a vice chairperson. The vice chair shall be elected by a majority vote of a quorum of the members of the LCB present and voting at the organizational meeting. The vice chair shall serve a term of 1 year starting with the next meeting. The vice chair shall assume the powers and duties of the chair in his or her absence. The vice chairperson may serve more than one term. Do I have any nominations or anybody who is willing to consider to be the vice chairperson? Yes. We have, you like to
I'd like to nominate someone.
Yes.
Not me. Okay.
Rafaitis.
That's pretty close.
Thank you.
All right. And do we have a second for David to be nominated as vice chairperson?
I'll second.
All right, thank you. So we have one candidate available. Do we have any other candidates or anyone else that wishes to desire to be the vice chairperson? Seeing how we only have one candidate, I'll call for a vote. All in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Hearing none. Motion goes unanimously. Congratulations, David, on being the vice chairperson.
Thank you, and I'll try to do as good as a job as you do.
I appreciate
Please
that.
Don't leave.
Our second action item is motion to approve the fiscal year 2020 trip rates. Annually, the CTC must submit trip rates for the upcoming fiscal year in order to receive the trip and equipment grant. The trip rate workshop for fiscal year 2019-2020 is attached. We have a presentation.
Chairman. The presentation is fairly short. The rates is calculated based on the instructions from Commission for Transportation Disadvantaged. The rates for this next year for ambulatory trips are $33.11 per trip. That's an increase from the current rate of $31.89. Mm-hmm. And then our trips for transporting persons in wheelchairs is $56.79 per trip. And that's also an increase from the current rate of $54.66. I'm not certain how far you'd like to get into the details of those rates. Also, we have, other than the paratransit trips, we operate a subsidized bus pass program offering discounted daily and monthly passes. Those rates remain the same, where the daily bus pass, instead of being $5, the individual pays $1.50, and the commission would pay $3.50, which is the difference. The monthly bus pass is remains at, I believe, 70, and the individual pays 20, the CTD will pay 50, and a reduced bus pass for those that are have a financial disadvantage remains at $40 a month, what CTD pays, and the individual pays 15.
Okay. All right, is there any other questions?
I do.
Yes.
I have a question. Okay, so is there a cap on how, as far as the increase that you're putting on ambulatory and wheelchair trips, like, is there a cap? Because it seems like it goes up every year, that amount is going up.
Keep in mind this rate is what CTD reimburses us.
Mm-hmm.
The cost for the individual taking the trip remains the same at $3.50 per trip. And also, this rate doesn't have a bearing on the amount of resources that the CTD provides us under the trip and equipment grant. So, and the county does continue to provide all of the trips, which cost far in excess of what's provided by the CTD. Mm-hmm. And yes, the rates do go up each year because our operating costs go up each year.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Yes.
How do we pay for the extra cost beyond what we're reimbursed?
That's paid for with ad valorem dollars from appropriated by the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? And just for my knowledge, CTC stands for?
Community Transportation Coordinator.
Okay.
And not to be confused with CTD, which is the Commission for Transportation Disadvantaged, or any of the other acronyms that we have.
Okay. Thank you. And so I will need a motion to approve the new rates for 2019-2020.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Is there any further discussion from the board? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Moving on to informational items. Our first is AARP Age-Friendly Communities. TPA staff will present on AARP Age-Friendly Communities and the components of the program that promote livability for all ages.
This is me. So, Age-Friendly Communities. ARP is a national organization. It stands for the American Association of Retired People. That's a mouthful. And their mission is to empower people who choose to live as they age. So they are starting to do something called an age-friendly communities designation, which encourages aging in place and livable communities for all. Livable community, you could do all of these things, but a livable community really has walkable streets, housing and transportation options, access to key services and opportunities, community activities, and a focus on all ages. So similar to that 8 to 80 concept of you want to have a place that's safe for someone who's 8 and someone who's 80 as well. So there are currently 4 states that have a designation for being an age-friendly community, and there are 368 communities. The state of Florida has 27 communities that are currently designated and growing. A couple weeks ago, they only had 24, so that just shows the rate at which that it's growing. The state of Florida was also designated on April 23rd to become an age-friendly designated state. So it's one of the 4. The other 3 include Colorado, Massachusetts, and New York State. There are currently 0 communities in Palm Beach County that have this designation, which we'd like to change. And we also do, we are looking for someone to be a local representative for AARP for Palm Beach County. If you are interested on that, on a side note, speak to me after this. But so these are the 27 communities, as you can see. If you look at the map on the screen, which I see is kind of slightly cut off now, but there's no dots in Palm Beach County. And just south of us, we have Miami-Dade County as a designated county, so why not us? So 1 in 3 Americans is 50 plus, and by 2030, 1 in every 5 Americans will be 65 and up. So having an age-friendly community is really important, especially because it decreases the chances of isolation as an older adult, physical and mental health issues, and increases mobility and housing options, provides opportunities, and lengthens the lifespan overall. It also brings in grant opportunities for municipalities that are trying to become that. So we are constantly getting older, and the county is as well, so we really do need to get some of these municipalities designated. And how do you do the designation? Well, the first step is entering the network. The second step is a planning phase, so you establish ways to involve older adults. This typically takes 1 to 2 years, and it covers the establishment of, again, ways to involve older adults, assess the community's age friendliness, develop a 3-year community-wide action plan, which is the major thing, and identify indicators to monitor the progress. Step 3 is to implement and evaluate what you have done, and step 4 is to continue the cycle. So the reason you continue the cycle is you're always improving the plan. You're never just agreeing to it and sticking with it, always improving. There are 8 domains of livability. Outdoor spaces and buildings, which is the availability of safe and accessible recreational facilities. Transportation, which is safe and affordable modes of private and public transportation. Housing, which introduces a range of housing options for older adults and gives them the ability to age in place and allows for home modification programs. Social participation, which is access for older adults to leisure and cultural activities and opportunities for social and civic engagement with both peers and younger people. Respect and social inclusion, which are programs to promote ethnic and cultural diversity as well as multi-generational interaction and dialogue. Civic participation and employment, paid work and volunteer activities for older adults and opportunities to engage in the creation of policies, communication and information, access to technology, and the 8th one is community support and health services. So access to home care services, health clinics, the ability to get around to a doctor's office when you need to. Next steps are to encourage Palm Beach County and our local municipalities to become AARP age-friendly communities by designation, and to seek out an AARP representative for Palm Beach County. For more information, there's a link on the site, and I can also provide you with anything you need additionally And again, if you are interested in becoming a representative for the county, please speak to me after this. That's it.
Thank you. Our next update is on the...
I have a few comments.
Yes.
That's interesting. When I moved to Century Village in Boca, which is supposed to be an age-friendly community, I was very surprised to find out that it wasn't so age-friendly. And we're looking at a lot of these communities that are being built and being developed. They don't have people with disabilities or older adults being part of the planning process of, you know, planning those communities. They had inaccessible buses, sidewalks that were not in good repair, poor lighting. These are things that I would hope that as we're looking at these issues, that we look at lighting, transportation. About 10 years ago, the Department of Elder Affairs put together a wonderful brochure, which I'll share with you if you like, that is a survey to determine how age-friendly a community is. It goes through detail. They have one packet of survey for the frail elderly and one for the well elderly. And it goes through everything. It goes through healthcare services. It goes through transportation. It's a very good survey, which I'd recommend that we use. And I'd be glad to work with you on, as far as ARP goes on that. It's something I've been doing for a long time as a geriatric social worker and a community organizer.
Thank you.
Thomas, then David.
Okay. Since we're here on transportation, one of the biggest things, and I'm trying to yell it out as much as I can, between the TPA and, you know, disadvantage, what's coming, the batteries are changing, and with battery changing, we're gonna have completely different vehicles than we have now. And so we really have to start seeing how we're gonna start developing our communities around smaller electric vehicles. I'm pushing that just because if we take a look at how we were just talking about the disparity of the $350 an individual pays and how much we have to pay on Palm Tran Connection, how much that could save the county or just as an investment into our communities if we start, instead of just thinking of bike lanes, we're now thinking of how do you have lanes that are big enough that somebody who has a three-wheeled scooter that could go 15 miles an hour could then start getting around. And I think we're gonna really, that's gonna happen. However we vote or whatever we do, that's the way technology's going. So the more we develop now our infrastructures of our city, and then specifically with transportation, I think that will allow their older adults to live in place and enjoy their life, as well as our low-income individuals who we always say have trouble buying a car. You know, we always want Palm Tran as an option and a resource there, but then when we can allow people to be independent and they can purchase a scooter from between $300 and $3,000 and go where they need to go, that's gonna be, I think, a fundamental change. And so that, I'm just kind of yelling that out to transportation planners. Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely awesome. We should be very aggressive with this. We always talk about our physical infrastructure, I mean the roads and buses and stuff like that, but we haven't talked about our social infrastructure. So two of these combined will make us very, very powerful as far as a county. And from the community services department standpoint, it was like, yes, we have needs for our seniors. Yes, we have needs for others that are in Palm Beach County, but this will put us on a map. I'd like to see what these other communities have done, if there's a template or something like that, that we could take a look at and see how applicable that is to us, but then make it unique for Palm Beach County. And the other flip side, which I wanted to go along with, should there be any type of disaster in Palm Beach County, I'm one of the people responsible for the distribution of food, water, and other supplies. So if I know what's going on in this particular communities, that can be a great assistance to me and assist also those in those communities. So I'd like to see the information that you were talking about as far as what AAA did, too. That's great.
I have a comment. Is this a grant opportunity for communities?
So this is not a grant at the moment. However, they do They do often have opportunities for grants for communities that are designated. Okay. So if we were to get communities in Palm Beach County designated or the county designated itself, then we would be open up. We would open up these grant opportunities. But at the moment, no, we are not eligible for any. So
I have one more question.
I'd like to move on and allow everyone an opportunity informational item is the CTC update.
Great, thank you. I'll be taking it from here. So we're going to provide an update on three initiatives that we have going on. The first one that I'd like to talk about is the Go Glades overview and the update. I'm not sure if you're all aware, but back when we did the route performance maximization to redesign the fixed route system in September, out in the Glades community, there was a route that was eliminated, Route 48. And so it was combined into Route 47. 47 is running, but it left some needs and service needs for the community out in the Glades area. So what was decided was that we were going to install a fixed route, deviated fixed route system, which flexes. So we installed four routes that deviate a 3/4 mile. And so that launched in December 21st of 2018 to make, you know, the Glades region more accessible. The Go Glades operates as a deviated fixed route. It deviates, flex off the route for up to 3/4 miles. We have four routes operating in the Glades region, one in Pahokee, two in Belglade, and one in South Bay. So the Go Glades operates 7 days a week, and it hits up to 70 bus stops, all the routes. So as we were designing this and we were looking at the Go Glades service, we had set a target of productivity, passengers per hour, that we needed to have on this service to make sure that the pilot program was something of a success. So what we had deemed as our productivity as 4 passengers per hour. So the span of the service from the time we start till the time we end, we hope to have accumulated, you know, 4 passengers per hour divided by the total number of hours the bus is in service. So right now, we're currently, it's underperforming. We've got 1.61 passengers per hour. Go Glades has serviced a total of 13,802 passengers in the first 19 weeks, and our on-time performance is hovering around 84%. What we found is that we have those early mornings and those late night hours, the ridership is really low, so it's pulling down that productivity. And it's costing us a lot of money. So, you know, we're not saying that the pilot project is not successful, but we're still looking at certain ways in which we can service it. And when we compare this to PalmTran Connection and our fixed route service, so the productivity on PalmTran Connection right now is currently at 1.68 passengers per hour, and it costs us $38 a trip. The fixed route service is 19.1 passengers per hour, and it costs us $6.76 per trip. And Go Glades is now at 1.61 passengers per hour, and it's costing us around $25.34 per hour. So we're evaluating how we can better serve the community, and we're looking at, we have to come back to the Board of County Commissioners in July with recommendations on whether the pilot projects are going to continue or if we're going to recommend some changes. So in looking at this and talking to our partners at FDOT, we've looked at and we're exploring options for possibly installing a curb-to-curb dial-a-ride system, which would operate in the entire Glades region. It looks like it could possibly look like a Uber or Lyft where you could schedule your trip, a vehicle on demand. It would also help with the PalmTran Connection trips that are currently out there. Currently, PalmTran Connection provides 12,000 trips a year, origin and destination, 18,000 trips a year. 18,000 trips a year, origin and destination out there. By installing a by installing a general public dial-a-ride, those PalmTran Connection trips would have access to the same day service. And it would also then, because it's curb to curb, you don't, ADA does not require us to provide service out there because you're now providing curb to curb for the whole entire general public. So we're exploring some of those different delivery service models. It would only operate in the Glades. It's available to general public and ADA riders. And so we're still just looking to see the effectiveness. But at some point, we're working with Tyndale Oliver, who is our consultant on this project. And we're going to have to bring something back to the Board of County Commissioners in July. So we just wanted to bring an update on the Go Glades project, where it is and where it's going. And we'll see what happens here when we do make a presentation to the board in July.
Yes, Tomas.
OK,
Okay, so yeah, I have some questions about how we're determining success, and I think some of the things you discussed is, well, the difference in price, the average price for like a PalmTran Connection trip versus what one of these trips cost, but the PalmTran Connection trips is an average of all your expensive and your cheapest trips divided by the trips, roughly. But some of the most expensive trips, to my understanding, are the ones out to the Glades. And then having, so I thought this program was going to already help alleviate some of the trips. So have we seen any of the PalmTran Connection trips increase?
So the assumption that was made by at the time that this was put together was that we were going to see a migration from PalmTran Connection over to the Go Glades. And our origin and destination on Connection has not happened. So you're still running the Go Glades, we're still running PalmTran Connection, and we still have Route 47 out there. And so that migration has not happened, I think, for multiple reasons, because the schedules for the flex service, for the deviated service, are really kind of tight. And, you know, the ADA riders don't necessarily want to use that and call and schedule and have that three-quarter mile, and it's the pickup and drop-off. There's some confusion on that, but they do like, you know, the PalmTran Connection side of it. So, the curb-to-curb, point-to-point, that's an issue.
Well, because what I'm kind of reading the tea leaves is what you're saying is if we make this open to the general public, then we don't have to provide ADA later on? Is that?
No. Actually, what we're looking at is right now there's three routes.
Okay.
Like the people in Pahokee want to go down to to Belglade.
Mm-hmm.
That route doesn't hook up, so they'd have to take that route, stop, get on another route.
Okay.
Like that. So it's not that easy with the deviated route system. But with a dial a ride, general dial a ride, what that means is the whole Glades would be available for a trip. So not just this route, it means everywhere out there. Okay? So that would be to provide more service to them. What we mean by curb to curb and door to door is, remember, the ADA regulations say we have to provide curb to curb transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the regulations. We provide door to door and PalmTran Connection. What Chad is saying is if we have a general dial a ride for the whole service area, then we don't have to provide connection service anymore because we're meeting the requirement of the curb to curb. But we're doing it for the whole region out there. So they're getting, in essence, they're going to get more service, same day service, better service.
Except for that, well, that's an assumption. I'm not meaning to say that, but because now when you open it up to the general public and now you're talking Pahokee and the Glades, now you've just increased everybody who's low income is now can do the curb to curb.
Correct.
And so to say that now our individuals with disabilities, as part of the general public, is going to have access to these trips that we already know PalmTran Connection is already having a hard time, you know, fitting them in.
The Glades service has 12 dedicated vehicles just to the Glades region alone.
Okay.
We've got 9 new vehicles that are coming in next month. And so that service will have its own dedicated fleet.
But as soon as we say now low income individuals can call into this service, we're gonna 22 vehicles, or I don't know if you're doing the 7 plus 9, or I mean that's not even close to what we would need to service that area with all those people that qualify.
So, you know, my concern is that what technology is being used, because if you're using like the Uber carpool system, so if somebody's going from Pahokee to South Bay and they can pick up somebody in Belglade who also wants to go to South Bay, that makes sense. You know, the situation is that to order to have the trolley system or even this Go Glade system, the amount of traveling where there's not anybody on the bus is costing the county and you're not getting any benefit out of it. Mm-hmm. So this way they are looking to see specifically what happens if we do exactly what people want and have door-to-door service for our 3 municipalities out in the Glades area versus the historical model of an urban area of having a train system. Because this the area over here, it's not in the sense that people in Belglade can go to Jupiter
right.
on this dial-up system. So if they are a disadvantaged traveler, they would still need to use PalmTran for this system. However, we will have that dispatch, I guess,
right?
That will be able to decipher what is the best way for them to go from in the Glades to the Glades, or if they qualify from the Glades to the rest of Palm Beach County.
And we're on the same page. The only where I see the difference, and because I do, I'm working with Martin and St. Lucie County, and so they've been able to work at in areas that have Uber, then they're able to facilitate that because they have more vehicles, but it's more conceptual still, because until you get more vehicles online, the idea of having curb to curb is only as good as the amount of vehicles you have to then service that area. So conceptually, I'm understanding what you're saying, curb to curb, but they don't have Uber and Lyft in those in that area. So it's
right.
going to be having to be Palm Beach County that's going to have to provide those vehicles. And what we just described was 22 vehicles. Is that correct?
No, no. No, and you got to remember that the trip counts are like 50 PalmTran origin 50 PalmTran connection origin and destinations in the Glades community on a daily basis.
Okay.
We're currently running that with 6 vehicles. And then the additional Go Glades work that we're looking at, we're adding about maybe 225 total trips, origin and destination, on a day with a span of service from 6 a.m. till 9 o'clock at night. So that's with those 12 vehicles and the modeling. And yes, it's a different piece of software, and it's integrated into a on-demand system with an app and fair payment technology and also a call center. The way that it all works ties out to the having the right productivity level and making it useful. Yes, you run the risk of opening it up and then everybody, but I mean, once again, Route 47 will still be operating out there, and based upon the modeling and the numbers, those vehicles, we have more than enough vehicles at this time.
What is the cost per trip?
We haven't even explored that yet because we're not sure how we're going to operate it. This is one of those things where it's a pilot program, and we're just now exploring what we're going to make a recommendation to the board. I'm not saying that this is happening. It's one of the things that we're exploring the options of.
Okay, and I appreciate you saying that, but I am definitely seeing an issue because there, let's say the trip is $1 a ride, or let's say the trip is $4 a ride, you know, to use it. So we don't know what it's yet, but it's going to be a variable between there. Would that be a good assumption?
Once again, I mean, we just are now doing the Title VI fair equity analysis from the current system of the pilot project. We haven't even talked about fares for what this might look like.
Okay, the reason why I'm saying this is because when you're opening it up to the general public, we're saying we're going from 50 rides, and then we're going to be now looking at how many additional rides did you say we're going to add to it?
Another 170 maybe of general public with the PalmTran connection.
Right, and I think that's an underestimation by far. Because when you get a whole bunch of low-income individuals, we're not talking about individuals with disabilities. We're talking Belglade has a lot of individuals that can't afford a car. And so if they know there's a service that's open to the general public and they could spend $350 for a trip, even though it would cost them $7, but they can work or get into and around the Glades, they're currently paying taxi companies more than that to transfer then move within the Glades. So then what we're potentially opening ourselves up to is creating ourselves a taxi service for the Glades area that's running at a big deficit. And I don't think the amount of vehicles you have is enough to cover it. I really do think that you're opening up Pandora's box. Again, I appreciate the amount of time that you allowed for this item, but I'm really concerned that I think the idea of saying we'll open it to the public, we're going to have a lot more demand out in the Glades, even if it's just to stay in the Glades.
So this was an informational item.
Yes.
And so if we want to have if anybody on the board that would like to have a further discussion, they would need to come to the PalmTran Service Board and the Board of County Commissioners who makes the final decision. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I would ask if you could make sure that this board knows when it's going to be in front of the PalmTran Service Board. So anyone on the board who would like to make their suggestions or comments known before that board makes the recommendation to the county commissioners.
We'll send out an update.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. And so I'm going to move on to the LCB member presentation, and we got
one more thing in there.
Oh, you got one more?
Yeah, we got a couple things. So
all right.
We'll do it pretty quick, though.
All right, no worries. So that was just the Go Glades Flex Service Now.
The Connection Deficiency Project.
All right.
So yeah, last year was the year of the RPM, or the Route Performance Maximization Project for the fixed route.
This year is the Connection Efficiencies Project. So what that really means is we're going to take an in-depth look or an RPM type look at PalmTran Connection. So we're going to be refreshing and re-examining connection service. We're going to look at every aspect of it. We're going to explore opportunities to make improvements. We actually hired Delta Services Group, which is a consulting firm, was hired to lead the project. We have a very aggressive timeline, meaning we're scheduled to go to the Board of County Commissioners for a workshop on July 23rd. Now that July 23rd date, just so you know, we're going to be talking about this Connection Efficiency Project, and we're also going to be talking about the Go Glades that was just discussed. So that's part of that, and an RPM update as well. So what are we going to be looking at? Definition of the ADA service. Just so you guys written, if you don't know, those new to the board, the ADA service is defined as 3/4 of a mile of a bus route, fixed route bus route. Here in Palm Beach County, we don't only go 3/4 of a mile of a bus route, we actually go well beyond that, meaning we go from the turnpike all the way to the coast, to the north boundary of the county, to the south county of the boundary. Anyone in there can be ADA. Normally, it's 3/4 of a mile of a bus route. So that creates a lot more riders. However, we are Palm Beach County, the best of everything. So. We're going to be looking at eligibility. Right now, the eligibility process is a paper eligibility application where you fill it out and you have your doctor fill it out, and your doctor says you're disabled, and we say, yes, you are, and you're eligible. There's also something out there called functional accessibility assessment, where we actually have a service that says, you know, can you actually ride a fixed route bus? Can you navigate the system? Ask these questions. Really get whoever is actually disabled that has a disability that prevents them from using the fixed route, have them use the fixed route. Also, conditional eligibility, meaning, you know, if your eligibility is because you have low vision at nighttime, well, that means you can ride the fixed route bus during the day. Those functional assessments would determine that. The connection fare. Right now, the ADA says the fare can be double the fixed route fare. Right now, we're at $3.50. We actually could be at $4. So that's another option we could do. A capacity issue. So a fleet diversification. We're looking at that. You know, do we need all these big buses? Do we need smaller buses? Right now we have a problem with the amount of trips that we have, which you guys have heard, and the amount of buses that we have. So we'll be looking at that as well. Now this board might become involved in this, transportation disadvantage modification. So because we get this trip and equipment grant and we get this money from the TD Trust Fund, we would actually look to your board to say, you know, how do we control the transportation disadvantage ridership? Well, we actually have tools to do that. Right now, we get $3.1 million from the Transportation Disadvantaged Trust Fund. Then the county overmatches that by $3.6 million is what we overmatch it. We're supposed to match it by 10%, okay, not by 3.5. So what do we want to do in this county? Do we want to continue to do that? Or we can do trip limits. We could say, you know, we have $3.1 million divided by 12 months, divided by each day. This is the amount of trips we're going to provide in one day. 40 trips, 50 trips, whatever. Once we hit that cap, it's done. Or we come to you guys and we say, within your bylaws and within the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, which you approved before, we actually can do trip priorities. You guys could say, because of funding, we can do whatever you guys want. But right now, it's medical, employment, nutrition, you know, going down the list to recreation as that. And you could say, we're going to enact those trip priorities and say that each day we're going to prioritize your trips. Right now, we don't do any of that. Right now, we just keep providing trips and go back to the Board of County Commissioners, ask for more money, and say, we need more money to do this service. So when you look at other counties, when you look at what they're doing, most of them stay within that cap. They stay within that match. They don't match it by millions of dollars like us. That's just the choice that we have here. So the recommendation might be that maybe we should do that, okay? The other thing is alternative services. As we all talked about, Uber, Lyft, taxis, how can we incorporate that into Palm Beach, PalmTran Connection, whether it be Uber or Lyft used for the TD trips or our Division of Senior Service trips, because maybe not for the wheelchair accessible vehicles, because there's not really many out there that are Uber and Lyft, or how do we incorporate taxis, maybe late night service, employment trips. So there's a lot of ideas we have that the consultant will help us weed through. So let's see. Any questions? Try to go. Hit on a few things, but it's a bigger project than that.
Yes. David.
Is there a way that we could link this with the previous agenda item of age-friendly communities?
So that's through ARP, right?
I mean, we're talking about money here, and we're talking about something for the future, and maybe right now we don't want to specifically say we're going to do that. But if we're in our planning process, we can go and say, in our test model, our pilot program, or whatever, here's an age-friendly community that has been designated, and here are special considerations that we're giving for that community.
That's definitely something that we can consider. We haven't moved forward with anything regarding age-friendly communities. We wanted to run it by you guys first to see what you thought about it. But moving forward, if we do choose to move forward with it, then potentially something we could involve with, we could get involved with. So.
A huge project. I mean, everything that you just explained, that's huge. Will you allow for community input as you go through this process of change? Because I can see the anxiety level of the community to escalate when you're talking about changing the way you do things, how many routes you may put out, and so forth. Will you allow the community to get involved in some type of way to share their thoughts about these changes?
So these recommendations will go to the Board of County Commissioners first. There will be a workshop with county administration, and they'll provide feedback to PalmTran on the direction, and then we'll take that feedback, and then we'll do a presentation to the Board of County Commissioners on July 23rd. Right now, we're not slated for any other public input on it, because we're not sure exactly what we're going to be recommending or what we're even going to be talking about. We're going to put a whole bunch of stuff out there, and then we're going to see where county administration is comfortable, and then we're going to talk about that to the board. But realistically, we're talking about major changes that impact the lives of a lot of people, transportation disadvantaged, and then our ADA riders. So it is a very sensitive issue, and I think whatever is recommended will be something that's implemented over time. Some of it is low-hanging fruit, which is cleanup. Some policy-driven stuff, but the bigger items where we talk about service reductions or even providing alternative services like mobility on demand, mm-hmm. where people are able to, you know, access ADA services on a daily basis instead of having to schedule in advance, and is that a different level of service and premium service. So those are all things that we're going to be, you know, and our goal is to make it more efficient and better. So, and to be able to provide more service, we really don't want to have to cut services, but we want to look at alternative forms so that we're more efficient.
So we did bring something similar to this in 2014. In January of 2014, we brought it to the Board of County Commissioners. And we didn't say these are our recommendations. We said this is the situation of PalmTran connection right now. You know, capacity is here, ridership is going up. We're making decisions that are above and beyond what we have to do. What do you want to do? They say, keep everything the same. We'll just pay. We'll give you the money. Keep everything the same. It affects people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that public input part is part of the BCC process. The workshop is open to the public. And then ultimately, if it comes to the Board of County Commissioners in a regular meeting, that's open to the public as well. Also, it'll be probably discussed at our PalmTran Service Board subcommittee meeting, our PalmTran Service Board meeting. So we do talk about it a lot. But I will tell you that in the past, when there's been change, they found money somehow. Mm-hmm. So not to say that that's going to be like that now, but that's the reason why, for those that are new, that's the reason why our goal is 90% on-time performance for PalmTran Connection. Right now we're at about 73%, 76%. And the reason is because we made these decisions to help so many people. However, we're hurting so many people by not having the level of service that really we should. So something has to be done soon.
I'm going to ask if the board waits to have all their comments towards the end.
We got one more thing here, and then this is a good news.
Yes, okay. This is something we've helped initiate, correct?
Yes.
Good afternoon. Anna Bielowska, Senior Planner with PalmTran. So we wanted to present the Route 44 improvement to you today. Route 44 now serves the Career Source Center. Route 44 is our crosstown route in West Palm Beach that goes along Belvedere Road from the Intermodal Transit Center to the Vista Center right here. This service, we started servicing Career Source this month on May 13th, and we'd like the service to succeed.
just a bit of good news that it happened.
Yes.
And Elsa's
yeah.
not even here to.
You're right.
Hey, I did that. So
I think that's it for us.
That's it for item B.
Yes.
Next, we're moving on to item C.
Hello, so I'm Laura Schultz. I am the program planner for secondary curriculum and transition for the Department of Exceptional Student Education for the School District of Palm Beach County, which is a very long title. That means I'm the administrator who supports and supervises the programs related to secondary transition for our students with an IEP. Okay, so this is just sort of an overview of ESE students. This data is from, as you can see, the summer of 2017. We periodically update this, but this was the most recent breakdown of all our students. At that point, we had approximately 186,000 students in Palm Beach County schools, and of those, 37,900 approximately were serviced under ESE eligibilities. Of which students with disabilities accounted for 28,000 and gifted accounted for over 9,000. And the breakdown of services is over there. There's 13 eligibility categories that are included in that. And at that point, that was 16% of the total student population. So I just kind of wanted to give you an idea of the overall breakdown. As you can see, the vast majority are under student-specific learning disabilities, but there's also a wide range of other support services. And this is the school district's overall long-term outcomes. We're working on our strategic plan. These are our specific breakdown. We're in year four of our long-term outcome plan that was initiated under Superintendent Avosa and is now being continued under Superintendent Finoy. We're working to increase our reading at third grade to get it to be 75% on grade level, then ensuring high school readiness, and that's the goal again is 75%, the high school graduation rate to 90%, and fostering postgraduate success, because we want students when they leave us to have a successful life at whatever they want to do. I particularly support the ensuring high school readiness because we work with middle school students, the high school graduation rate, and then the postgraduate success. I don't have very much anymore to do with that third grade reading, but if you don't get third grade reading, you really don't get the rest. So I can tell you that we have at our traditional public schools met that graduation rate. As of this past year, we were just about for the district at 90%. That does not include our charter schools. Once you factor them in, we're a little bit below that. For our ESE students, we've been steadily and significantly increasing for years now. We had an 8% increase in our on-time standard diploma graduation rate, and we are at 79.2%. So we are extremely proud that we are truly. And if I did not include the graph of that, I'm kind of regretting that because it's really impressive how fast we're closing in on all students. So this is kind of what I cover. The biggest circle would be the supporting credit planning and graduation goals for all students with a disability for between 14 and 22. That's the statutory requirement for ESE services for transition. And that transition just means thinking about how you're going to proceed from school district life into the adult world. So we consider the other three areas in particular, college and or post-secondary educational planning, thinking about what you're going to do after you graduate, career planning, what your long-term goal is, how your post-secondary education is going to support your career planning, as well as independent living. We help students who, some of our students are going to go out and have an independent life and they can access the community completely on their own, and other students need a lot more support and training in order to get there. So this is just kind of the breakdown of how our pyramid works. The bottom level being the district ESE secondary students. This year there's approximately 12,000 students between 14 and 22 who are supported under transition. That's not including the gifted because we take them out. They don't typically require this kind of support services. So that's any of those generalized services in that last slide. The district ESE students who are taking courses that are working on developing independent community access and independent employment skills, that's that middle level, and those are the students before they graduate. And then the top of the pyramid is our students who really require the most intensive supports and generally stay with us after they've completed their high school diploma. They can defer receipt of their high school diploma is because they and their IEP team feel that they would benefit from ongoing support for independence, employment and getting ready, a little bit more ready before they go out and graduate and end what's called FAPE or free and appropriate public education. And this is some pictures. I actually had to substitute pictures of random children from the internet because of confidentiality issues. But these kind of represent some of the different things we do as we're working on those work and community independence skills. The majority of, about half of my team, I have a team of about 21 staff, teachers and staff. And the majority of what we do is work in four, we're going to six programs next year that are out in the community all day doing work skills, travel, community independence. They are not on a school campus at any point ever because our goal is to teach them, get them that final skills. These are students who've completed their diploma and that's what they're working on. So they're out at work, they're running. The middle picture, the Roar store, and the picture below it is students who work to develop enterprise skills while they're enrolled in school. The majority of our high schools have what's called a school-based enterprise. We do an enterprise fair twice a year at the school district building where they come and they might sell their materials. My lovely lanyard here is one of the samples of their work. So if you're ever around in mid-December, and then we do it again the first week in May, really great opportunity to buy some of the stuff that they make. They make jewelry and carvings and all sorts of amazing stuff. And then those are other students working. Or not really our students, but a student somewhere. The other thing that we do is really, really working on travel independence. So we've been working with your lovely Roseanne. And actually, she and I are working again tomorrow. We're meeting tomorrow to plan next year's travel trainer training. We do travel trainer training with staff, and then they go out into the world, and we're working on teaching our kids how to ride on fixed route buses. We want our students who are going to have difficulty ever being drivers to really be able to learn how to get somewhere independently, because if you can't get around in the world, it doesn't really matter if you can do the job. So we start there and then we work into employment skills. So that's really what got me started and how I ended up getting on this board. I think because I grew up, I was raised by a traffic engineer in Washington, D.C., and I spent a lot of time learning about public transportation because of my father. It's really important to me. I rode on buses and subways my entire life, and so all the people that I meet who say they've never been on a bus kind of stun me. But this is a really important thing for our kids to learn. And that's sort of how I tie into Transportation Board. I don't know who wants this. A little quicker. I don't know if anybody has any questions or if we're just moving on to.
Well, thank you very much, Laura. Really appreciate it. Our next item for information is partner agency updates. Is there any partner agency updates? None? Okay, now we can move on to member comments and questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to go first, Robert?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been speaking a couple of times on my concerns regarding the 91 bus route in Boca Raton. We're trying to encourage people to use public transportation and get off the ADA routes. The 91 bus was changed in such a way that people who live in Century Village who have disabilities and cannot drive are unable to get to doctor's offices on the corner of 10th Avenue and Glades. People in the area between the bus stops from the emergency room at Boca Regional and Glades is extremely long for anybody to walk who has a disability. As a person who can't see and can't walk well, I found having to try to cross some of those streets over there treacherous. But you need to have a bus stop at the corner of 13th and Meadow Lane. I think it's called Meadow Lane where the hospital is. There needs to be some improvements made on that route, and I would like to formally request that our board request that the PalmTran board take a look at that route and request that some changes be made to improve accessibility and safety on that route. I would appreciate, I don't know if formal motion or not for that, but that'd be my request that our board do something.
So you're requesting for more information on the bus route 91 for disadvantaged travelers to take the fixed route.
Right, I'm requesting that our board go make a formal request to the Palm-Tran board to review that bus route and see what can be done in terms of fixing it in terms of accessibility and safety.
So Robert, we'll have I'll have someone contact you from our planning department. They're from the fixed route side. They're not here, but I'll have someone reach out to you, and we'll look at that, and we'll talk about options.
And I guess if I don't know it's quicker, if, you know, for us to come back in the 3 months and get a presentation about the bus route as well, and if any changes have made by staff looking at it.
Yeah, we'll put that on the list.
All I'd appreciate, because I'm not here in the August meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We'll start with you, all the way at the. I got my list here. Robin, you want to begin?
Just member comments.
If you have none, just state none.
None.
All right.
Schedule you sent us at the beginning. This is the second time I see that you guys changed the meeting. The old schedule said that August 28th, but I'm looking in the agenda, you said the next meeting is August 14th.
So there was a mistake on scheduling, and we had actually had it scheduled for two times in August. So it's August 14th. And I just want to make sure everyone knows the calendar or timeline that's at your seat. That's for fiscal year 20, which is the next meeting. This is the quarter four meeting for fiscal year 19. So come August, that's going to be quarter one for fiscal year 20. So that's next year's meeting dates and what's happening at next year's meetings. And I'm sorry about that.
So speaking of the dates, then we have, so what are the dates? Is August 14th, October 30th, February 12th, and May 13th?
Yes.
Okay, so it normally was.
So, yeah, so we're keeping with, it's typically the second or third Wednesday of the month. So, and meetings hopefully won't be here. Hopefully they'll be downtown.
Okay. All right, so starting probably in October.
Probably October meeting.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I have no comments.
Right. No comments.
That's Moss.
We're going back to changing of Palm-Tran connection. First, I want to say it's only because you've done such a great job with Palm-Tran fixed route that I feel more comfortable for some of the individuals in the middle that really don't qualify for ADA, or, well, they qualify, but I do think that having an eligibility process is a good move to do, because I think there's a lot of individuals that now, with a little bit of encouragement, could move on to a very good working fixed route system. My only part I'd ask is, if you do an eligibility, make sure that we include individuals from the disability community as part of the individuals that are doing the functional assessment. And then I heard RPM referenced. It was too late last time I made my comments, because RPM had been out the door and you modeled it. But if you're doing something different, I'm encouraging you to use a different acronym, because first of all, part of our population doesn't even know what RPM stands for, what it means. Then trying to say what that means, route performance maximization, that's a mouthful. So people, it's not going to catch on. So I would say that it sounds like an acronym for planners, but if we want people to like engage with this, it should just be faster buses, or I don't know, I'll leave it up to the marketing, but something simpler. I think that people would then go for it more. Thank you.
And so one of my comments is that I know that we have it funded for the updated payment systems. Was it Palm-Tran Connection also going to be part of that updated payment system?
No, Connection was not included in that fair technology.
All right. Is there anything in the future for Palm-Tran Connection?
There is. We've got some grant opportunities for that. So we're looking at that. We've explored that. We have we had it slated, and it got pulled because I needed to buy vehicles. So it's back, it's on the table, and I'm just looking for resources to be able to do that.
Okay.
Cashless fares.
All right, thank you so much.
Yes.
David? Jesse?
No.
Any comments?
I almost want to, but I think I'll sit on it for a little while, but thank
okay.
you.
Robert, do you have anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. Go.
No. No comment.
All right. Seeing no further comments from the board, I believe that is the last item. Our next meeting would be Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. May I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?